Lord.
Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills, knowing my
Amen. Hasn't God been good to us today? I want to thank the praise team and the musicians for just the wonderful job they've done today in praising the Lord. And just want to thank the Lord for all of you. Guys are out there looking good today. And I just want to give you a warning that I'm going to preach a very long sermon today. No, I'm not going to be long. So if you guys can stay with me, we're going to get out of here in about a half an hour or so. Maybe a little bit longer, but we're going to try to stick close to that. So if I see you falling asleep, I'm going to add on pages to the sermon. So stay with me today. Stay with me. So let's get to the word today and let's say a word of prayer and begin. Lord, we're thankful today to be into your house. There are so many places that we could have been, so many things we could have been doing, but we're here today. And we pray that you would bless the word, that it may be enriching to all who hear. May you help us, God, to move from a place of scarcity to one of abundance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture is going to be on the screen in the New King James Version. And I want to ask for your participation today. So I'll read one verse, and then you guys will read the following verse until we get to verse 7, and we'll read it together. Is that all right? All right. So the Bible tells us that a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't gather just a few." So she went from him and shut the door behind her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Altogether, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest." Amen. So today we're going to consider the topic from scarcity to abundance. So in this story, the widow is described as having no name. She only is called a certain woman. And we don't know her name, but from the actions described in the passage, we know that this woman was desperate and this woman was hopeless. She was desperate because she owed a debt that she had no way to pay. And she was hopeless because the only solution she had was to give her children as slaves to the creditors. Now, this may seem like something strange to you, but during this time, it says here, if a person could not pay his debt, the Mosaic law gave his creditor the right to claim his services, that of his children, until the year of Jubilee. So imagine that you had this debt that you couldn't owe, and instead of paying it back, you could maybe give one of your children to be in replacement for that debt. Now, I hope that none of you would do that now, but that's what they did back then. So you see, her husband was a prophet. And at the time of the story, he was dead. The Bible doesn't tell us how long ago he died or how he died, but we know that he left her a debt that she could not pay. And so one commentator says this about the financial situation: her husband, not enjoying the lucrative profits of business, had nothing but a professional income, which in that irreligious age would be precarious and very scanty, so that he was not in the position to provide for his family. So you can imagine, an income which is already insufficient disappears when her husband dies, and the bills are beginning to pile up. And no matter what she tries, she cannot catch up. So the widow is almost ready to give up. But she has one last task. She cries out. Everybody say, cries out. This woman is desperate, and this woman is hopeless. And the Bible tells us she cries out to Elisha. And she appeals to the fact that her late husband was a prophet. And so she says this to Elijah, "You know that my husband feared the Lord. He followed you. He did everything that he was supposed to do. But we have this debt." So essentially what she is saying, she served God. He served God. He was faithful to you. But we have this problem. Can you please help us? We have no hope. So Elisha recognizes the desperation of the situation. And in the New Living Bible, his response is rendered, "What can I do to help you?" The widow is looking for Elisha to solve the problem, but Elisha turns it back on her and asks her, "What do you have in your house?" And pay attention to her response, because her response is telling. The woman says that she has nothing but a little bit of oil. And herein lies the problem, her perspective on the resources that God has given her. She had a mindset of scarcity rather than that of abundance. She saw that the resources that she had were so insignificant that they were non-existent. And if the truth was told, some of us have the same attitude today. We say, "I can't do this for God," or "I can't do that for God because I can't speak well," or I can't sing, "I can't give to God because I just have a little bit of money." And if you've ever said any of those things to yourself, you might have a mindset of scarcity. She failed to see all that God had blessed her with to solve her problem. So Elisha had to bring to her memory all that God had provided for her. So, in a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey talks about the difference between a scarcity mentality and a mentality of abundance. And I'll quote him. He says, "Most people are deeply scripted in what I call the scarcity mentality. They see life as having only so much, as though there were only one pie out there. And if someone were to get a big piece of the pie, it would mean less for everybody else. The scarcity mentality is the zero-sum paradigm of life. People with a scarcity mentality have a very difficult time sharing recognition and credit, power or profit, even with those who help in the production. They also have a very hard time being genuinely happy for people when they are successful." So the contrast is this. The abundance mentality is that it flows from a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It is the paradigm that there is plenty out there for and enough to spare for everybody. It results in sharing of prestige, of recognition, profits, decision. It is open to possibilities, options, alternatives, and creativity. So we have on one hand the mentality of scarcity, and we have on the other hand the mentality of abundance. And we can see this all throughout the Bible. When God told the children of Israel to go and conquer the land, there were some who came back and said, "All we see are giants, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight." But there were some who believed that they could go and conquer the land. When God told Moses to go and set his people free, Moses said, well, Lord, you know, I got this stuttering problem, so I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do. But God told him to go anyway. In the New Testament, when the disciples found themselves surrounded with thousands of people who were hungry, they wanted to send them home, but Jesus said, you feed them. All they had were five littles, fishes and loaves, and God was able to take that and multiply it to feed the 5,000. All of these people forgot that little becomes much when it's in the Master's hands. God is still in the miracle-working business, but he will not perform a miracle in situations where a miracle is not necessary. So this story is about a miracle. Don't get me wrong, but so let's examine exactly what happened in the passage. So first, Elijah tells the woman to go get vessels from her neighbors. And he tells her, don't get a few. I want you to get a lot. Now, God didn't have to work a miracle for her to get out of her house to go knocking on her neighbor's doors to get the vessels. Amen? You guys agree? So she went door to door. She collected those vessels. And when Elisha told her to go into her house and shut the door, after she had collected those vessels, the miracle was not necessary. But when she took that one little jar of oil, and she took that jar of oil and she began to pour it into those empty vessels, that's when the miracle took place. Some of us want God to do things that he is not going to do because he has already given you the power to do it. You see, the miracle happened when she poured that vessel, and when it was full, the other vessel came and she began to pour it. And the Bible tells us that as soon as there were no more vessels, the oil ceased. Amen. Stay with me. I see some of you nodding. I got some extra pages here. All right. So Elisha brought to her attention the resources that she could not see. Because in the beginning of the story, this is what she said. She said, I have nothing except this oil. But she failed to realize that she had neighbors who had empty vessels. She failed to realize that she had her two sons who had not been taken yet. She failed to realize she had all these things. And if you listen to what she said, she was so afraid that she failed to mention that she even had her sons. So in her mind, her sons were already taken. She had a mentality of scarcity. So, what if the woman said that, you know, I'm not going to get these vessels. This doesn't make sense. I'm just going to go ahead and get two vessels. I'm going to get two, and I'm going to begin to pour the oil. She would have missed out on her blessing. Amen? She would have missed out on her blessing because as she stepped out on faith, God was able to bless her. And as the vessels are full, as the oil is ceasing, she still didn't know what to do. She calls Elisha back, and he instructs her to pay off her debt and to live off the excess. So, I want to ask you today, do you have a mentality of scarcity, or do you have a mentality of abundance? Do you find yourself in a desperate situation like this woman? When you look at your resources, you say, I have nothing. But just as Elisha called to this woman to look again, I want you also to look again. And whatever you have, as much or as little as it may be, I want to invite you to put it in the Master's hands. There's a song that says this: in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. In the mad rush of the Broadway, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy, give to them the word of life. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn in toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. So our message is simple today. If you have been faced with insurmountable challenges and you find yourself in a position of scarcity rather than abundance, and you want God to say to you, you want God to remove the shackles from your eyes and allow you to see with a mentality of abundance, I just want to invite you forward, and we're going to say a prayer for you today. Whatever it may be something big, it may be something small. You know, one of the things that we're challenged here with at Southside is very similar to what this woman was dealing with. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But God is calling us to look at what we do have and not what we don't have. What he has blessed us with and not what he has not blessed us with. And when we are faithful, God will do what only God can do. But until we have done what we can do, God will not work the miracle. Let us pray. Lord, today, your children have come forward in faith, bringing to you their fishes, bringing to you their loaves, bringing to you their little one jar of oil, bringing to you their 2 cents, bringing to you all that they have. And Lord, they want to give it to you today. They want you to take it. They want you to multiply it. They want you to fill it up till it's overflowing. And Lord, you know the individual situations that each person is dealing with. Lord, I don't know, but you know. And Lord, it may be that some of us need some brain surgery. You need to get in our minds and change our thought patterns, change our perspectives on life. And we just ask, God, you would take the scalpel of your Holy Spirit and just cut out of our mind the doubt. Cut out of our minds the fear. Cut out of our minds the negative thoughts. And we just ask that you will recreate us in your image. And Lord, you know that this place should be full to overflowing, but we just ask that you would allow us to go forward, that we would bring forth those empty vessels into Southside so that you can fill them so that we can be full. So Lord, today, just as you've done it so many times in the past, we ask that you would do it for us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.